non-essential employees are evacuated from the U.S. Embassy in Haiti.
The move was the latest sign of Haiti's troubles as gang violence threatens to bring down the government.
Ramadan in Jerusalem.
Israel will strongly safeguard the freedom of religion for all faiths at all sites in Israel, especially the Temple Mount and Al-Aqsa.
And the son of Korean immigrants becomes Los Angeles police chief.
I think that it is a testament to the strength of the Asian Pacific Islander community in Los Angeles and the Korean community. He is the first Korean American in the country to have served in this capacity.
Today is Monday, March 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Scott Walterman. The situation in Haiti continues to get worse. On Sunday, the U.S. military says it has evacuated non-essential personnel from the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince and has flown in forces to beef up security at the embassy compound. Details on this now from Reuters correspondent Alex Cohen.
The move was the latest sign of Haiti's troubles as gang violence threatens to bring down the government and has led thousands to flee their homes. In a statement, the U.S. military said, "This airlift of personnel into and out of the embassy is consistent with our standard practice for embassy security augmentation worldwide, and no Haitians were on board the military aircraft." On Friday, Pentagon spokesperson Major General Patrick Ryder addressed this possibility and the potential for further involvement from the Department of Defense.
We're exploring contingency options to ensure the security of our personnel at the embassy. No decisions have been made at this time about potential deployments. I know there's been some press reports about a fleet anti-terrorism security team. What I can tell you is that DOD will not send troops to Haiti to support Haitian National Police security operations. We have no intention of intervening. And we are not providing assistance to help the Prime Minister return to Haiti at this time.
Haiti entered a state of emergency last Sunday after fighting escalated while Prime Minister Ariel Henry was in Kenya seeking a deal for the long-delayed UN-backed mission which the African country plans to lead. On Saturday, the U.S. State Department said Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke with Kenyan President William Ruto about the Haiti crisis. And the two men underscored their commitment to a multinational security mission to restore order.
Seguo con preocupación y dolores la grave crisis que colpisce Haití.
While on Sunday, Pope Francis said he is following with concern and sorrow the serious crisis affecting Haiti, and he led a prayer calling for the end of the violence.
Reuters correspondent Alex Cohen. Dozens of foreigners, including many from the United States and Canada, are stranded in Haiti, desperately trying to leave the violence-torn country where anti-government gangs are battling police and have already shut down both of the country's international airports. They were in Haiti for reasons ranging from adoptions to missionary and humanitarian work, and now they're locked down in hotels and homes, unable to leave by air or sea, or land, as Haiti remains paralyzed by the mayhem and the gang's demands that Prime Minister Ariel Henry resigns. Needless to say, there is no shortage of misery in Haiti. Haitians themselves, especially those in Port-au-Prince, are suffering the consequences of the political and social crisis. Let's take a look at that part of the story in this report by Reuters correspondent Alice Rizzo.
Political activist Mathieu Marcelin was greeted with excitement on Friday after he escaped from prison in Haiti. The country entered a state of emergency last Sunday after fighting escalated and armed gangs broke inmates out of prison. He says he was kidnapped by the government of Prime Minister Ariel Henry.
"I wasn't imprisoned, I was kidnapped. The criminal government headed by Ariel kidnapped me. The God of life saved me by the skin of my teeth."
Months of violence have pushed Haiti's government to the brink of collapse and forced thousands to flee their homes. And increasingly powerful gangs are asking the country's prime minister to resign. Meanwhile, Henry remains outside the country, seemingly unable or unwilling to return. Guy Philippe, who helped lead a coup in Haiti in 2004, says he should not return.
He had an agreement. He would resign and step down in February 7th this year. But he hasn't done it. And still, he's still having the backing of those big countries that say that they are our friends. So I think he should stay where he is now for the best. It will be good for the country that he stay where he is and let Haitians decide their fate.
Philip, who was deported from the U.S. to Haiti in November after serving 6 years of a prison sentence for money laundering derived from drug trafficking. Since his return to Haiti, he traveled the country, rallying support and calling for the government to step down. Henry's spokesperson did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Henry left Haiti last week to secure Kenya's leadership for a UN-backed security mission he first requested in 2022 to help fight the gangs. He is believed to still be in Puerto Rico, where he arrived on Tuesday.
Reuters correspondent Alice Rizzo. We're following these other stories from around the world. Portugal's center-right Democratic Alliance was poised to finish first in Sunday's parliamentary election, according to the early tally. But short of an outright majority suggesting tough negotiations ahead with the far right that made huge gains. Heavy rains in Bolivia's La Paz prompted authorities to declare a state of emergency. A government document showed on Sunday overflowing rivers destroyed many houses over the weekend. A Sudanese army general has cited recent military advances and then said there would be no truce for Ramadan in the country's 11-month-old conflict unless the rapid support forces withdrew from civilian sites. Hundreds of Palestinians gathered in Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque compound to peer through telescopes to spot the crescent moon rising on Sunday, which marks the start of Ramadan. Al-Aqsa, one of the holiest sites in the world for Muslims, sits on a hilltop in Jerusalem's old city in a compound also revered by Jews as a vestige of their two ancient temples. Government spokesperson Rakhila Karimson said Israel will strongly safeguard the freedom of religion for all faiths.
To those that tell you that the holy sites are being threatened, I want to clearly state they are not. To those that say no worshippers are being allowed access to Al-Aqsa for prayers, they are wrong. The entrance of worshippers to the Temple Mount will be permitted, in similar numbers to previous years.
Israel captured the site in the 1967 Middle East War and later annexed it with the rest of East Jerusalem, an annexation not recognized by most of the international community. Palestinians want East Jerusalem to be the capital of their independent state. One more note on this, the start of Ramadan. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, gave his Ramadan message.
Ramadan embodies the values of peace, resilience, and generosity. It is a period of reflection and prayer, an opportunity to come together and uplift each other. Sadly, many will mark these months while facing conflict, displacement, and fear. My thoughts and heart are with them, from the people of Afghanistan to the Sahel, from the Horn of Africa to Syria and beyond. And I wish to express a special message of solidarity and support to all those suffering from the horrors of Gaza. In these trying times, the spirit of Ramadan is a beacon of hope, a reminder of our shared humanity. Let us all be inspired to heal divisions, to support those in need, and to work as one for the safety and dignity of every member of the human family. May these holy months bring peace and guide us towards a more just and compassionate world. Ramadan Karim.
As the humanitarian situation inside Gaza continues to get worse, the United States Army has sent a massive ship from Virginia to the eastern Mediterranean to help. It's loaded with gear to begin construction of a floating pier to help deliver aid to Gaza. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has some of the details.
The situation in Gaza is dire, say health and aid workers who've been there. Emergency room doctor Thayer Ahmad of Med Global on a video call as provided by Reuters.
They will tell you that the situation has deteriorated for a couple of reasons, and we're at the point that we are because there is a bottleneck. There used to be three entrances into the Gaza Strip. Israel controlled two of them and Egypt controls one of them. Now, only one out of the three is partially functioning.
To get around those blockades, regional partners began dropping aid packages from the sky. Over the weekend and on the eve of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, the Jordanian Air Force over Gaza dropped pallets filled with flour, rice, baby formula, and water. And the United States Air Force dropped more than 88 bundles of aid said to contain nearly 53,000 meals and 23,000 bottles of water. Now, another plan to deliver aid to Gaza is set to begin. The United States Army deployed a vessel from Virginia to the Mediterranean carrying equipment to build a temporary pier. While it will likely be weeks, with some estimates as high as 60 days before the pier becomes operational, the plan is to have a floating base of operations to deliver aid to Palestinian territories. The United Nations says a quarter of Gaza's population faces starvation. The Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza says the conflict so far killed nearly 31,000 Palestinians, a number that does not sit well with U.S. President Joe Biden.
Cannot have 30,000 more Palestinians dead as a consequence of going after. There's other ways to deal, to deal with. With the trauma caused by Hamas.
Biden speaking Saturday on MSNBC as carried on X, but as Ramadan begins, for more than 72,000 injured Palestinians, any relief by land, sea, or air can't come soon enough. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
In the Netherlands, there was the opening of a new museum, a National Holocaust Museum. Here's Associated Press correspondent Rika Ann Garcia with details.
The Netherlands has opened a National Holocaust Museum in a ceremony presided over by the Dutch King and Israel's President Herzog.
You are baby killers!
What you hear is one of the chants of thousands of pro-Palestinian demonstrators who gathered near the museum to oppose Israel's military operation in Gaza. Also in attendance were supporters of President Herzog, waiting for his arrival.
We are here to welcome President Herzog, but they come here with a different opinion. They are very aggressive.
Palestinian activists are calling this move hypocritical and emphasize that they were opposing Herzog's presence, not the museum and what it commemorates. The museum in Amsterdam shares the stories of thousands of Jews deported from the Netherlands and killed in Nazi camps. It also delves into the persecution during the German occupation in World War II. I'm Rika Ann Garcia.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Scott Walterman. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Sunday dismissed Pope Francis's call for talks with Russia as virtual mediation from a distance. The Pope made the comments on a Swiss interview show.
È un'interpretazione, è vero.
This is Pope Francis saying, I think the strongest one is the one who looks at the situation, thinks about the people, and has the courage of the white flag of negotiating.
E negoziare.
Zelensky, in his nightly video address, did not refer directly to Pope Francis or his remarks, but said the Pope's ideas had nothing to do with efforts by religious figures in Ukraine to help the country. Zelensky saying, when the Russian evil started this war on February 24th, all Ukrainians stood up to defense, all Christians, Muslims, Jews, everyone. This is what the church with the people is, not 2,500 kilometers away. One more note about Ukraine. The Ukrainian war documentary, 20 Days in Mariupol, won the Oscar for Best Documentary, the first Ukrainian film to win an Oscar, ever. The film bears witness to the Russian siege of the port city that began in February 2020 and ended 3 months later with more than 20,000 people dead. Zambia has received the first shipment of a new medicine to prevent HIV infection. The delivery makes Zambia only the second country in the world after the United States to offer this injectable preventative outside of a research setting. Kathy Short reports from Lusaka, Zambia.
For 2 years, Precious Mbomboli took pills daily to prevent infection with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. But the 21-year-old is among the first in Zambia to receive a new injectable prevention drug.
For 2 years, yes.
I changed the new injectable on 25th February because the pill was difficult for me, as I used to forget to take it. Sometimes I was not at home at the time of taking the medication, so the injection makes me feel better and confident.
The new drug is known as Cabotegravir Grave, long-acting. Each shot prevents infection for 6 months. Zambia is the first low- or middle-income country to offer the drug to the public. Lina Mwango is technical director of the local nonprofit CHEP Zambia.
Our target age group for this is adolescent girls and young women who are aged 16 to 24, as well as we're reaching out to their sexual partners.
Local representatives called Connectors are helping roll out the program.
The Connector is based in the community. We do community mobilization. We do community sensitizations. We go on screen the girls that are eligible for DREAMS. Those that are eligible get to be enrolled.
The U.S. government has donated nearly 15,000 vials of the drug known as Cabotegravir Grave. That's enough to protect 2,000 Zambians against HIV for 1 year, the U.S. embassy says. But experts say people who get the shot still need to take precautions.
People get the injection and then they think it's a silver bullet, in that then they can go out and sleep around. And really the message here is that that's not why this drug has been brought on board. To realize that this drug does not prevent pregnancies, it doesn't prevent other sexually transmitted infections.
About 1.4 million Zambians are living with HIV, with about 33,000 new infections per year. Experts hope the new drug can help bring those numbers down. Kathy Short, VOA News, Lusaka, Zambia.
And finally, it is the quintessential American story. A son of Korean immigrants last week became the interim chief of police in the Los Angeles Police Department. He is the first Asian American to be a police chief in the U.S. Here is Gina DeLo with this story.
This month, Korean-American Dominic Choi began his role as an interim chief of the Los Angeles Police Department. Choi is the first Asian-American to head the agency, which will spend the greater part of the coming year seeking a permanent replacement. Choi, who was born in Los Angeles, began his career with the LAPD in 1995. John Lee, a Los Angeles City Council member, also of Korean descent, says he and Choi credit their families and culture for their success in the United States.
For me and Dominic, I think we both had strong families, had families that understood the meaning of public service, really appreciated everything that this country gave to them, that opportunity. And so, you know, I think when speaking to him, we have similarities in that our parents push us to make sure that we also give back to our communities.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, the first woman and the second African-American person elected as the city's chief executive, swore in Choi as interim police chief at inauguration ceremony.
I think that it is a testament to the strength of the Asian Pacific Islander community in Los Angeles and the Korean community. He is the first Korean American in the country to have served in this capacity, and so I think it is reflective of a new day in Los Angeles.
During the ceremony, Choi's father pinned the chief's badge on his son's uniform.
For me, today marks more than just a personal achievement. It symbolizes the progress that we're making towards a more inclusive and representative law enforcement agency. It speaks volumes about the diversity that this city has, the vibrance and the dynamics that we all know it to be.
Kong Jung Kim, The owner of Korea Barbecue House near LAPD headquarters says he's pleased to see a fellow Korean-American to hold this office.
He's a Korean. I'm very proud of it. I'm the Korean too. I see a lot of police officers. He is a lot of star. I'm very proud of it because I never seen that before.
Kong says he hopes the new interim chief will address the homeless problem in the city and increase the police presence in the area so they feel safer. Jenya Dulo, VOA News, Los Angeles.
And as we wrap things up, I just want to give you the big highlights from the Oscars. Oppenheimer won Best Picture, a solemn three-hour biopic, became an unlikely billion-dollar box office sensation, the story about the man who led the team that invented the atomic bomb. Emma Stone won Best Actress for her performance as Bella Baxter in Poor Things. Cillian Murphy won his first Oscar, Best Actor. And one note, not in the top three, Robert Downey Jr., won Best Supporting Actor, notching his first Oscar. This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of everyone at VOA, thank you so much for joining us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on your favorite social media platform and online at voanews.com. And you can also download the VOA app. In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is deeply troubled by reports of Azerbaijani police raiding the office of an independent media outlet and arresting multiple independent journalists and civil society activists, said State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller. On March 6th, police raided the office of the online TV channel Toplum and detained about a dozen journalists working there. The Toplum office was later sealed shut. The same day, police reportedly detained several members of the Third Republic platform, whose stated goal is the creation of a decentralized and secular republic based on electoral democracy. Members of the pro-democracy civic organization NIDA were also detained. Several of the journalists and civil society activists were released around midnight, but others remained in police custody. Toplum TV's chief editor is well-known investigative journalist Khadija Ismailova, a former bureau chief for Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty. Ismailova herself has been harassed and imprisoned by the Aliyev regime and falsely charged with crimes because of her reporting on government corruption at the highest levels. Commenting on the raid and the most recent detentions, Ismailova said, "There is no reasonable explanation for what is happening. It seems the authorities want to fully liquidate independent media in the country to leave no platform for critical opinions. We have not been involved in any illegal activities." The authorities' intention to liquidate independent media seems to have intensified in recent months. Since November, the Aliyev regime has detained numerous journalists deemed critical of the government and called in others for questioning. Among them was the leadership of Absas Media, an independent anti-corruption media outlet. Prominent civil society members have also been targeted. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller said the United States is deeply troubled by the latest reported arrests of independent journalists and civil society activists in Azerbaijan.
We must express our strong objections to continued attempts to intimidate, repress, and punish journalists, civil society voices, and opposition figures. We call on Azerbaijan to end the harassment of those exercising their fundamental freedoms and urge the release of all individuals being unjustly held in politically motivated cases.
No one, said spokesperson Miller, should face incarceration or other retribution for exercising freedom of expression.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.